Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, baby! What is up, Buffalo Fanatics? It's your boy Z-Bot here with you live on the Buffalo Fanatics YouTube channel Monday night, 3 days removed from the NFL draft. It's here, folks. We are finally going to decide who the Bills are going to take at 25, and tonight we're going to give you our thoughts, and by we, I mean me and Buffalo Fanatics' very own Rev Rhodes, who I'll bring in right now. There he is, my man Rev. Happy pre-draft, whatever you want to call it. What's popping, my brother?
Man, nothing much, man. Chilling. Glad to be here with you again, baby. I'm excited about this draft.
Well, it's good to have you, as always. We're 3 days out. I mean, it felt like it was forever away. Yeah. Got a little bit closer, a little bit closer. You know the tide's turning today, Rev. It was almost 80 today in Rochester. Oh, so you know things are, the tide's turning a little bit. But of course, you can't have a great day in May, right? Or April,
yeah.
Right? You can't have a great day without it pouring rain at the end of the night here, of course. So we have a great day weather-wise, and now it's pouring. But hey, nothing a little smoke break can't fix. You know
what I'm saying?
How was your Monday? I know at times Mondays can be Monday. How was it? Was it all right?
Yeah, man. I mean, Monday was good. You know, I'm excited. This is a draft week, so I'm excited. I'm anticipating this draft here coming up in the next few days, so I can't wait, man. I'm ready to go.
I love it. So let's get right into it, Rev, because, you know, right now it's an open book when it comes to trying to figure out what the Bills are going to do. We have been on record numerous times thinking that the go-to solution at 25 is cornerback, mainly because right now, of course, the Bills do not have a solidified cornerback to mirror Trey White, who of course probably won't be ready to go at the beginning of the season. 99.9% likely won't be ready to go. And the Bills, as of right now, not even thinking about Tre'Davious White, do not have a solidified starter at cornerback two. So that would be the obvious choice, you'd think. But
yeah,
there's been hints, little breadcrumbs left along the way, a few of them today.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that in a second as to what Chris Sims had to say about who he thinks the Bills are going to take. But let's start in-house today, Rez. I have a buddy in college named Rez, so I get that a little confused sometimes. Rev, let's start in-house. Our boy Sean McDermott.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is something that caught your eye. It was about a 25-minute press conference from McDermott. In this particular segment that really caught your eye in particular, something that I know you wanted to get into tonight, was around the halfway point. And I'm going to play it for the folks right now, and we're going to talk about what we think McDermott meant by the following clip that he had spoken on during his press conference just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Long wait on Thursday night, so your pick comes up, but it's a good thing in one way because it means you're coming off a good season. But what are those moments like when guys are maybe coming off the board that you like as players, and what's your role as that draft is going on, and how do you approach that wait until your turn comes up?
Yeah, well, it's good that we have a lot of candy in the draft room and just outside, so I can satisfy my anxious hunger with just candy, just popping candy. So I'll be doing that through the first 20 picks, and then I'll be in the room and dialed in there with Brandon. But no, it's it's bittersweet, like you said, Jay. So you have a good season, and you got to wait the next year. So, you know, I'd rather have it that way. Ideally, you can have a good season, and then, you know, and Brandon will be up here, I think, at 2 o'clock, so you could talk to him about, you know, getting a little bit earlier in that waiting would be great. And maybe 2 spots would be great, you know. So we'll just see how it plays out. I mean, like I said before, a lot of confidence and trust in Brandon and his staff. They've worked extremely hard, and I know we'll come out with some good players.
Man, oh, man.
Besides McDermott having a stash of candy to chomp on, we all need something when we're anxious. You know, that's why, you know, people smoke cigs. I on the smoke break, contrary to popular belief, but everybody's got to have their vice. McDermott says his is candy, clearly noting that he's going to be anxious waiting till the 25th pick rolls around. But is he going to have to wait till 25, Rev? Because McDermott, in that bit of audio there, alludes to the fact that McDermott and Bean in particular, of course, might be looking to move up a few picks. Yeah. I'm going to start right here, right, you know, black and white here, Rev. What did McDermott mean by that, and what are your what's your take from it?
Yo, look, I hope everybody caught that, you know, because that was like when I was watching the presser, I was like, man, did he just say that? You know, and I love how he's talking about candy. You know, I mean, I don't know what his favorite candy is. I know some people's favorite candy maybe Skull gummy bears or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you what, it's mine, Rev. I'll tell you right now.
No doubt.
I got to go to the deserted island with one candy. You know it's the Skull favorite gummy bears. And I'm sure McDermott's got a couple on deck.
Yeah, he's got a couple.
And listen, Rev, speaking of which, we know that they're big candy guys. Isaiah McKenzie said he'd take candy as a payment.
He'd take candy. He'd take it, man. And I guess that's
full of candy at One Bills Drive.
And a whole lot of candy just sitting there. So being – look, I mean, McDermott, he said he's anxious in the draft, but he said, look, maybe you guys can talk to Bean about moving up. That's essentially what he was talking about moving up, you know, shortening that time from 25 until they pick. And so I'm sitting here like, yo, he just kind of tipped his hand. I think he was really saying that it's his desire to trade up in the draft. But not only, though, did he say that he wanted to trade up. He said maybe even a couple of spots. He said, like, maybe even a couple. So, you know, I mean, take it for what it is.
I was just going to say couple. That's up for your determination as to what a couple is, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he could be talking moving up a couple of spots or maybe having a couple of picks.
Right.
I don't know, but man, like, I don't know if he meant to say that or he just came out, you know? But, yo, can you imagine that? Think about Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean in this year's draft. We've all talked about it, about sitting here at 25 and who could we draft? You know, a cornerback and sitting back and waiting. But man, yo, this draft right here, I feel like this season, of course, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are not going to say it, but I feel like it's a Super Bowl window right now. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Brandon Bean getting super aggressive in this draft right now. There's no reason for him to sit back and wait if he has a guy that he likes. So I'm like, go get that guy, whoever that guy may be. And I guess, I mean, we could talk about that tonight. I mean, who we think that guy could be. I've got some ideas about maybe a scenario that's maybe somewhat familiar to Bills fans of late, and we can get into that. But I'm just curious about what he could do moving up in this draft. That's what's got me excited about it. But
couldn't have said it better. That's exactly the way I feel. And listen, let's not waste any time here. Rev, should the Bills move up, where do they move up to and who is it for? Rev, if you're Bean, you have the ability to move up. Who are you moving up for and why?
Okay, so.
Or better yet, who do you think he's going after? What do you think the move is for Bean?
Okay, it depends on how high he's trying to get up. If he's trying to get up top 10 at the lowest, then it would have to be for like a guy like Sauce Gardner. That's the only guy
right?
Yeah, that's the only guy worth drafting in the top 10, in my opinion. If it's somewhere outside of the top 10, maybe 15 to 20 range in that area, which is a little bit more reasonable, then a guy who's dominant. Think about who Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have gone after in the past couple of years. They love traits, right? Which is why Sauce Gardner is he's a traits guy. What is he like, 6'3", 6'4"? Maybe 200 pounds. I mean,
he's
runs.
The general consensus number one corner in this draft.
Absolutely.
No debate.
Absolutely. Okay. But now if that's not the target, if you're looking at somewhere between 15 to 20, who else is a traitsy guy that can dominate on this team right now? And I'm thinking Jordan Davis. I know we just made a lot of moves in free agency to beef up the interior of our defensive line, but when you look at the contracts, though, that these guys have signed, Daquan Jones and Tim Settle, Daquan specifically, it's not a long-term deal. I think it's a one-year deal. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it may be a one-year, two-year at the max. Jordan Phillips, one-year deal, okay? And so we're looking for that solid one-tech defensive tackle, that hog molly, that big guy who can stuff the run and even provide some kind of pass rush. You're not going to find another guy in this draft that's as dominant as Jordan Davis out of Georgia. 6'6", 340 pounds. Guy ran a sub-5.40. He is a man among men, a beast among beasts. That guy right there is a dominating defensive tackle. And if you plug him in this defensive line right now, forget it. I mean, it's a wrap. You got him. You got the heavy rotation. Plus, he'll be there long-term alongside Ed Oliver. And let me just insert this, guys. We've been talking about Tremaine Edmonds and whether or not he's worth being extended. A lot of Tremaine Edmonds is his abilities come down to who's up front, right? A lot of people have talked about, well, Tremaine can only do so much because we haven't had a dominant defensive tackle. Well, you put Jordan Davis up front, we're going to see a whole lot about whether or not Tremaine Edmonds is worth that contract or not. So I love that scenario, that opportunity. But that's the guy that I would think he would go for if it's in 15 and 20. And I have an idea about a scenario. We can get into that a little bit later.
That would be three defensive linemen taken within the first two rounds over the last 2 years. So it's not uncharacteristic for Bean to have that on the mind. However, you do look at the Bills' current situation. You wonder, one, what they'd have to give up in order to move up to get a guy like Jordan Davis. Two, you also wonder when the cornerback position will be addressed. The only way I see the trade up happening is if they're confident enough in a cornerback that they see a second round grade, second round grade attributed to them. That to me, then it makes sense. You get your guy that you desperately know will, or you desperately want, and you know will immediately enhance an element of your team, while also adding to the position that is in need of a starter. There has to be a plan in place there. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. Because I mean, the defensive tackle position is you're not going to find a more dominant guy than that. I mean, if that's a guy, go after him, right?
Richard Smith coming in here, he's backing you up, saying you will never see a player like Jordan Davis again.
Never.
I mean, that's a hell of a statement right there.
That guy is ridiculous. And we're talking about, like, he played next to a guy like Devontae Wyatt, who's a very good defensive tackle, but I mean, he's not Jordan Davis, right? And so Jordan Davis, and yes, I think that there's some guys that we can target later in the draft at cornerback, because if I'm not mistaken, I think Brandon Bean in that same conference, he mentioned that you know, they've got guys that they like in each round. So I don't think that he's going to be desperate to go in. I mean, I've got to get a corner in round one. I mean, he has Dane Jackson, but if they have grades on guys in every round that they feel comfortable getting and adding to the competition for camp, and then let's not forget to mention the fact that after the draft, there's going to be guys as we approach camp that maybe get released, guys that Brandon Bean can go after, undrafted guys. We've got guys that you know, he may look to sign after the draft that are veterans right now, but he's like, you know what, let me wait until the draft is done, and then I'll revisit that. So it's not over with. The cornerback market is not over. Even if we don't get one in round one or even round two, I don't want guys to panic and think, oh man, you know, Brandon Bean he's just messing it up. No, there's a plan in place. But if you can get a guy dominant as Jordan Davis on this defensive line, oh my gosh, man, it would elevate the entire defense.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if we're well aware of the fact that the Bills need a corner, you better believe Brandon Bean is too. There's going to be something in play for that position. A matter of when and where is the question. Now, you know, to that point you're making, it sounds to me like you go Jordan Davis one, that would mean inevitably you go corner two. That would mean that you're putting the brakes on a wide receiver who a lot of people think the Bills might take in round two. Mm-hmm. So that could definitely throw some things around should the Bills decide to go defensive line. Haven't really seen many mock drafts at all that are anticipating a defensive lineman for the Bills. Maybe that is more reason to think it will happen, because as you know, this time of the year, you can't believe a thing you hear. And if you're not hearing anything at all, perhaps that is inevitably what happens. We'll see. Now, the one position that is a constant argument amongst Bills fans is the running back position.
Oh, yeah.
As we know, the Bills running back situation currently isn't elite. Mm-hmm. We'll put it that way.
Absolutely.
You know, it's below average at best. And if that's an area, if the Bills can improve in that department, as we spoke on just a couple shows ago, Rev, you and I, when we were looking at, you know, how can you increase the efficiency of this Bills offense without taking the ball out of Josh Allen's hands? Mm-hmm. And there was a variety of way to do so within the run game, but are the Bills too limited in that department in order to actually execute that? So a thought could be, do the Bills finally decide to go and get a true running back one, something the Bills really haven't had since LeSean McCoy? Somebody who thinks they might do this is Chris Sims. And, you know, love him or hate him, Chris Sims is tapped into the league. He knows a lot. Here's what Chris Sims had to say about the Bills potentially targeting running back Breece Hall in round one. Let's take a look and listen as to what Chris Sims had to say. Now, I'm sure the love affair that he was referring to is perhaps Rico's Twitter. I think if Chris Sims is checking in on Rico's Twitter, then he might understand where the love affair for Breece Hall is coming from. But I don't take lightly what Chris Sims has to say. I think he is very tapped in. He knows his stuff. And for those coming in here, sorry about that. If you're saying that the audio, you couldn't hear it that well, it was a very quick clip. Chris Sims basically just said he's hearing through the grapevine that the Bills have a love affair with Breece Hall.
Yeah.
So in other words, saying the Bills are interested in Breece Hall, according to the sources that Chris Sims has. And that is something that we have been wondering for a while here, Rev. What would the Bills be with a true running back one, somebody they invested in, somebody that they went out and got in order to solidify the position? You know, Devin Singletary, it's been fine. Zach Moss, I think we know what we're getting out of him as of now.
Right.
But Devin Singletary, you know, he's not elite. He's not a scrub. And he, you know, at this point, I think we also know what we're getting out of him. A lot better towards the end of the year last year than it was in the beginning of the year, but it's still not a running game that most people fear. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you necessarily have to have a run game that is, you know, the equivalent of Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, but with Josh Allen, if you can have an above average run game, it immediately elevates this offense to a whole new level. Your thoughts, Rev, on the potential for the Bills to go running back in round one? Me personally, I just can't fathom it. I don't see it, but where do you stand on it?
I actually love it. I do. I mean, if let's just say they decide not to trade up, okay, and they stay put at 25, you look at who would probably be the best player available and a guy that would really be an impact player on the team from day one. Why not look at a guy like Breece Hall, who is the consensus top running back in this draft class? And he's no scrub. I know a lot of people think, you know what, never draft a running back in round one. But listen, we're not drafting a running back in the top five or the top 10. We're talking about 25, which is essentially an early second round pick. Okay. You can get him for 5 years. Okay. Get the use out of him, but you have the best back in the class. This guy can add so much to our team. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Next Gen Stats. They had talked about the athleticism scores of Breece Hall and his overall scores. And he had scored, according to their database, think like a 99 overall score and a 97 athletic score. And they said that out of...
Sounds pretty good.
Very good. And they said he ranked four out of the last five draft classes. It was him, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, and there's somebody else that's slipping my mind, but there was four, and he was one of them that scored a 99, at least a 97 overall athletic score, and just the overall score in general. So I mean, you're looking at the guy who he's comped to as far as athleticism is concerned, and overall scores according to the database. How good is Najee Harris? Very good. Travis Etienne, well, we didn't get a chance to see him right because of injury, but we know how good he is. Jonathan Taylor was the other guy. Jonathan Taylor, we know how good he is. Bills Mafia, we got a firsthand glimpse of him. So if you got a guy like that who is compared to those guys from an overall athletic standpoint, why wouldn't you not want to have him on your team? I get it. Devin Singletary, a lot of people they like him. They're like, well, we don't need a running back. You know, we hardly run the ball anyway. Well, perhaps that's the problem. You right. know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm not saying that we need to go back to, you know, old school ground and pound, but we need to have a very effective running game. Last year, it was okay towards the end of the year, but when you break it down, it wasn't as good as it could have been. Granted, Devin Singletary ended the year with 870 yards, but Josh Allen had almost 800 yards himself. So, and then on top of that, teams weren't playing them in the box. They were dropping back in coverage. So, you should be able to run against that. Anybody should be able to run against a light box. Now, I'm not saying Devin Singletary is garbage. I'm saying he's mediocre and he's a running back one on this team by default. But when you get a chance to improve at every position, especially this position, a guy like Breece Hall is dynamic. He can run. He's fast. Something that the Bills have always been looking for. Listen at this. Don't forget the fact that Brandon Bean was looking to upgrade that position since last year. They tried to get Travis Etienne. They were in on Najee Harris, both of who went ahead of the Bills at 30. Okay, and so Brandon Bean wanted Najee Harris a year prior to that, but Najee decided to go back to college. So Bean was always looking for a dominating type of running back, and I think he settled for Motor Singletary, who's been okay. But they're always looking for upgrades. Breece Hall is a phenomenal prospect that you would like to have on this team. And we lean to him in certain times to relieve the pressure from Josh Allen so he doesn't have to be Superman all the time. You imagine a legit running game. Listen, Mafia, not ground and pound, okay? But a legit effective running game. And then you see teams start to, wait. We have to target this guy now. And so they begin to creep that safety into the box. And now Josh Allen can go play action over the top and do his damage. Okay, but you don't want to sleep and poo-poo on a guy like Breece Hall just because, oh, we don't draft running backs in round one. That guy is a phenomenal back. And if you can add him to the team, I think it will make this team even that much more dangerous.
A phenomenal back indeed, and those are all great points. He's coming off of two straight 1,500-yard years at Iowa State, averaging just under 6 yards a carry, 20 touchdowns plus the last two seasons. He's also pretty effective through the air. Yeah. He had over 300 yards receiving for the Cyclones a season ago. It would be great. Don't get me wrong. It would be great. You know, we're at the point now with this team where you look at it, and that's kind of the conclusion you come to. You look at all these additionals that you could add to the team in order to take a great team even further. You look to the running back position, you look to the D-line position, you look to the wide receiver position. And that's what you think when it comes to taking a team to another level. Obviously, when it comes to the cornerback position, it's logical in the sense that there's just not one at our disposal right now to start. But yeah, when it comes to the running back position, you are 100% right. It seemed as though there was heavy interest there last year. It didn't pan out. But we've seen what these young running backs can come in and do. Najee Harris, a big help for Pittsburgh. Jonathan Taylor, perhaps the best back in the league, what he's done for Indianapolis. Yeah. So, you know, you see what the outcome could potentially be. Now, I've seen some interesting comments in the comment section that I wanted to address. One coming in from Terrence saying it's smoke and mirrors. He's thinking that what Chris Sims is saying, what he's hearing, smoke and mirrors. Do you think that would be something the Bills would put out in order to make it seem as though they're, you know, going running back, even though they're going something else? Or do you really think running back is in play for Buffalo?
I mean, anything's possible, right? But my thing is, for what? You know, like what team is really going to be trying to trade up or make a move for Breece Hall anyway? You know, and like, I mean, most of the teams are looking at it like no, we're not drafting running back in round one anyway. So why would they even – I don't see a purpose for them to even put out any smoke for running back. I can see if it was a wide receiver or a corner or something like that, you know, but why? You know what I'm saying? So, no, I think it's a very legitimate thing, you know. Now, whether or not he leaked it or what, I don't know. I can't say that. But I mean, we know that he was interested last year. This is not just a one-time thing. I mean, he's been interested in it, and it's legit interest. Even Chris Brown from the Buffalo Bills .com, I mean, he's even said it. It was legit interest in Travis Etienne and Najee Harris, and then they wanted Etienne, who went, I think, at 25 to the Jags last year, and Bean was willing to draft him at 30. So now they have 25 spot, and you've got the best running back here. And oh, by the way, let's not forget, Mafia, that. Motor is in the final year of his contract. Okay. Now, I am not one to believe that Brandon Bean is going to be willing to extend a running back, or let alone extend Motor Singletary. So if that's the case, you have him on his final year, why not bring in the best back in the draft right now and have this guy for 4 years, five, you know, at the most on his fifth year option? It just makes too much sense for me because of where they're drafting, and you look at the holes on the roster, they're very minimal. I know we like to blow up the cornerback position, which I know it can give us room for concern, right? When you look at Tre'Davious White and you look at Mandane Jackson and who else, I trust that Brandon Binkett is going to bring in somebody. It doesn't have to be a guy at 25. They trust Dane Jackson. I mean, they really trust Dane Jackson. They would. I mean, you know, he's played a lot of football for us, and we saw how well he did. I mean, he played so well. He made Levi Wallace expendable. Okay, so I don't necessarily think they're looking for somebody that high. They can get a developmental guy who can come in and compete and play spot duty until Trey gets back. And if he happens to be better than Dane, then so be it. When Trey gets back, then Dane goes to the bench. But I don't necessarily think they have to get a guy at 25, you know. So I would just caution ourselves to say that, I mean, it's either a cornerback at 25 or bust. No, there are guys that can go deep into three, round four, even round five, that can be add value. Because think about it. All you need is somebody who's better than Levi Wallace on the team.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Another interesting comment from Terrence. You still got to pay him a first round pick contract, which is unacceptable. And I think that's a great point. When you're talking about running back, the days of first round contracts for running back are just about done. I mean, you're talking about moving on from Devin Singletary's contract. That'll be peanuts compared to what you'd have to pay a running back one like Breece Hall, if that is who you wound up going out and getting and he wound up panning out. As we know, once you reach that 4 or 5 year mark as a running back, history will tell you it's pretty much downhill from there. It has become the most disposable position in the league, and that's why you see eyebrows raise when anybody discusses taking a running back in the first round. But when you are a team like the Bills right now, who is so solid in so many areas, there's very few weaknesses on this team. It does make sense. It does definitely make sense. Also, to the point that Rev is making, where you obviously know you need corner, but there are so many corners available in this draft, you might be able to find that spot filler later on. If you are really that high on Breece Hall and you're really that high on elevating this Buffalo Bills run game, then it does make sense. And also with the wide receiver situation, there's so many wide receivers in this draft too. That's another reason why I think that they might wait on that too. So yeah, the running back could make sense. The talk about it has picked up a lot recently, it seems. It seems like that, you know, that idea of going running back in the first round has become more popular as the days are going on here. But I got to tell you, Rev, at first I thought cornerback was inevitable. But now when we really get down to, you know, the different situations and the different approaches the Bills could take here, there are a variety of them. And the more that time goes on here, the more I become unsure exactly what they're going to do. Yeah. If it were, you know, gun to your head right now, you have a free bet. What are the Bills doing at 25, in your opinion?
I'm staying with Breece Hall. If they don't move, Breece Hall to me is their pick. I just, because I mean, look at wide receiver. I mean, who could be there at wide receiver? I mean, I know you like Jahan Dotson. I know that's your guy, a slot guy. But then you have Jamison Crowder. You've got Isaiah McKenzie. Granted, those guys are on short term deals as well. So I mean, adding a slot guy, you know, I mean, it makes sense. But man, I just think that at this point in this stage of where they are in their rebuild and what they can add that can bump this offense and this team to the next level, a guy like Breece Hall is to me, that's the guy. And even if we're talking about contracts, look, I'm not saying that the Bills are going to, you know, pay him first round contract at the end of his contract. No, no, no. They can use him for 4 years.
Yeah, you're talking about getting an elite running back talent in this window. Yeah, that makes sense.
For 4 years, right? Because let's look at the contracts here. I pulled up a couple of guys. Let's look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? Okay, he was drafted, 32nd overall, right, in 2020. His contract that he signed was a four-year $10 million deal, okay? $8 million guaranteed at signing. So people are like, well, man, Rev, that's a lot of money. 4 years, I mean, you're paying what? That's what? You know, a little over $2 million per year. Now you can backload a lot of that, and then that's fine. So, but you get an elite running back for $2-3 million a year at the most. Come on now. I mean, why wouldn't you? And then you get rid of him, right? After 4 years, you don't even have to give him a fifth year option. We can just keep on recycling these running backs. But why not get the best one? You know, why are we just so content with just settling for just any old guy in round three, round four, who's mediocre when you can get the best guy, especially if you get a guy like, let's just say, James Cook, from Dalvin Cook's brother, round four. Are you going to pay him after 4 years? No, likely not. So why not? So why would you waste that guy who can't do what Breece Hall can do and just get Breece? You might as well just get Breece Hall, get the best guy. Okay, it's affordable. You can afford the contract. It's not going to break your leg. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're talking about $10 million for 4 years, likely. Okay, maybe even less. Get him for 4 years, and at the end of the 4 years, get rid of him.
I mean, that point you bring up makes sense, too, because a lot of these guys are on borrowed time here. I mean, a lot of the guys we just went out and got. There's no way Von Miller plays the extent of that full contract. A variety of guys currently that are just in place – on this team for the Super Bowl window that they're currently in. This Bills team, by the time that they would have to re-sign Breece Hall to a new contract, this team will look considerably different. Obviously, right. That's just the way the league runs. But, you know, as you said, Roger Saffold, short-term deal, Crowder, short-term deal, obviously Von Miller. So, yeah, I guess when you look at it like that, it does make a lot of sense. John DeMarkey seeming like he is all in on the Breece Hall train. He says Jonathan Taylor ran all over Buffalo.
Yeah, he did.
You ain't kidding, man. That was a nightmare. Buffalo allowed 184 yards and 5 touchdowns to Jonathan Taylor. Travis Henry, let's see. Or is he talking about combined? Whatever. Either way, we've seen Travis or Derrick Henry run all over the Bills as well. We've seen what good running back talent does to the Bills. Yes. And John's basically saying, we need that guy. Twice in Kansas City, you punt. John, I love you, man. I just like reading Morse code here. I'm trying to figure out exactly what.
Twice in KC.
Let me take it from the top.
Go for it.
Jonathan Taylor ran over Buff 184 yards, 5 TDs in Buffalo. I'm not sure if you're alluding to Travis Henry here, but I don't know.
I would assume Derrick Henry.
I would assume Derrick Henry as well, because he indeed ran over us a few times. But he's saying that guy twice in the Kansas City game, Buffalo punts. You can't punt against Kansas City. Right. I mean, obviously. Right. And I guess if you have an elevated run game, that definitely lessens your chances of having to punt in short down situation. John's also saying that Josh can't take all these hits. We know this. I mean, Josh Allen cannot be the leading rusher on this team year in and year out. We've probably seen enough of that already. And as fun as it is to watch, as good as he is at it, you don't want Josh Allen looking like Ben Roethlisberger in the latter stage of his time in Buffalo. You just don't want that. Or you want to avoid it at all costs. Listen, Josh Allen's going to play that style of football, whether you tell him to or not. That's what makes him great. But if you can limit the amount of designed runs that puts him in that situation, I mean, we've been overwhelmingly lucky that Josh Allen has been essentially injury proof. I don't want to say that, but the way he plays,
you know, Lamar Jackson, who's half the size, missed almost the entire year last year for playing a similar style. Luckily for us, Josh Allen is built to play that way, but you can only sustain that for so long.
Yeah.
And as good as he is through the air, as good as he is in and out of the pocket throwing the ball, you don't want to jeopardize that because of your lack of run game and him having to supplement that too. Yeah, so it all makes sense. You know, the more we talk about it here, Rev, not only are you investing in the future in the run game, you're also investing in the future in Josh Allen's health and longevity. And when you put it that way, who wouldn't sign up for that?
Well, I mean, 100%. I mean, you think about it. Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott had a front row seat in Carolina watching Cam Newton get pummeled. Okay.
Another great example right there. Cam Newton, an MVP, and then within a couple seasons, he couldn't even stand.
Couldn't do it. Yep. Okay. Now they see Josh Allen, and every time you hear them talking about Josh Allen, you know, especially McDermott, he's like, "Yo, well, can you tell him to slide some more? You know, maybe you can tell him, right?" Yep. And so they understand that that's his game, but they don't want him to do that. You don't want him to have to rely on himself, right?
And to that point, right? How about Andrew Luck, who says, "Hey, you know what? I've taken enough hits to the rest of my life. I'm hanging the cleats up." I couldn't imagine Josh Allen doing that, but we can't act like we haven't seen it.
Yeah, and it's a $200 million asset. They want to protect him. Why do you think they added Aaron Cromer? And Aaron Cromer, former Buffalo Bills offensive line coach, but he's known for having very good offensive linemen who are great in the run game. Then they add in Roger Saffold, who is a mauler, okay? And then you bring back Ryan Bates. They may even add another guy who is like an Aaron Cromer disciple to the line at some point in the draft. They're going to run the ball more. Sean McDermott wanted more balance. And I think Mafia fans are just scared when they hear run the ball. They're like, don't take the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. No. Come on now. I alluded to it a few days ago about Aaron Rodgers. Consider Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Look at how they run their offense. I'm not saying the offense is going to be exactly the same, but look at him. Aaron Rodgers still throws the ball over 4,000 yards, has over 30-plus touchdowns a year. And then you had Aaron Jones, who averages close to 1,000 yards per season, right? And him and A.J. Dillon, I mean, they've averaged, I think, like 12 or 1,300 yards in the past couple of years. You need to have an elite running game. And doesn't necessarily mean that Josh Allen is just going to be handing the ball off all day. You know, that's the case. It brings balance. It's like moves and counter moves. When you see a team backing off playing, they're like, look, we're not going to let Diggs and Josh Allen defeat us deep. Okay, fine. Well, what did Brian Daboll do, you know, all last year? And it struggled. They struggled to get over the hump. They were trying to constantly throw the ball against it, and it cost us a lot of these games that we should have won. Hence, Jacksonville Jaguars game, right? All these games, right? Well, what the counter is, you run the ball. They're daring you to run the ball against it. But when you can't do it and you don't have a guy who can do it successfully, that limits you offensively. But now when you couple that with an elite running back and an improved offensive line, plus you got Josh Allen, the defense has got to pick their poison. All right, are you going to stop the pass? Stop the pass. We're going to run the ball. If you're going to, okay, you're going to bring a safety in the box to try to stop the running game, then Josh Allen's going to go over the top. We saw the Patriots do it for how many years, guys? How many years did the Patriots revamp themselves and just rebrand themselves year after year after year? They did whatever they had to do to win the game. If it meant relying on Brady chunking the ball deep, fine, then they did it. If it relied on handing the ball off, then so be it. But it made them extremely balanced. That's what a balanced team does, a balanced offense does, and that's what it's going to do for Josh Allen. Don't be afraid of that. Don't think that we're going back to the 80s. I don't know what a lot of Mafia may think when we're talking about running the ball, but, man, look, it's Josh Allen's going to like, yo, thank you. I finally got somebody that I don't have to, you know, I can hand the ball off to it. I don't have to run it as much.
Listen, I don't care if Josh Allen runs the game plan that the Patriots played in the Wind Bowl where he throws the ball four times. I don't care if the game is won.
Yes.
You can count me in as not giving an absolute F as to how they got it done. I do not care. And if that winds up helping them win games, sign me up. Johnny Boy coming back in here to clarify the Morse code that he sent me earlier. He's saying, I met Derrick Henry, so we were right there. He's saying, but the point is, Josh cannot be our go-to guy on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1, get Hall. See, I disagree with that. See, Josh is the go-to guy on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. That is why he is so dangerous. I love him in that situation where I don't want him to be the go-to guy, is running 8 to 10 sweep plays where he's taking the ball out of the gun and running down the right or left side of the field, taking an open field hit, which we've seen him do numerous times. Yeah. You know, up the gut on your
on your standard third and fourth and one QB sneak. You want a guy like Josh Allen to run that play because there's very few quarterbacks in the league who are built the way he is and are capable of getting that yard. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see that continued, obviously. But when we're talking about the run game as a whole, where I want to see that scaled back is just seeing the endless amount of Josh Allen design run plays that all the time wind up ending in him getting hit. I mean, there's very few examples where he runs the ball and gets down clean. I mean, it's just not the way he plays.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Cam Newton, who you brought up. Yeah, exactly. Cam Newton, a very, very good example. I mean, Josh Allen and Cam Newton, very similar attributes in a variety of different ways. But Cam Newton, listen, it's not that he was just a problem, you know, in the media or a distraction, whatever. The main reason that he is not what he used to be is because the talent on the field fizzled out because of injury and playing like he was a fullback when he wasn't. And that is obviously of top concern. Like Rev said, that's a $250 million investment. And you're going to do whatever you can in order to ensure you get the most out of it. And upgrading the running game for the Bills would be a hell of a good way to do so. Johnny, coming back in here and saying, we are saying the same thing. We don't want Josh being hit. Allen is awesome, third and one and fourth and one. Just late season and playoffs, not all year. Absolutely. And where you really want the run game to increase and be better is in those playoffs, right?
Yes.
Because like you mentioned, in a game like against the Chiefs, maybe you don't score within a minute and a half and give them the ball back. If you have an established run game, you can run the clock out. You can get those short downs and not have to punt. So, you know, the more we talk about it, I've been saying this forever. I just want to see what this Bills offense looks like with an elite running back. I mean, what the hell does that look like?
Because
what we've seen as of late is already as good as we've seen ever. I just can't imagine, you know, this team is missing their Thurman Thomas, right? There's very similar examples to the 90s team for this Bills team currently. The one piece missing is that guy. And like I said, we haven't had that guy since LeSean McCoy. Could this be the year we do? Could the Bills go running back in the draft? We are just a few short days away from finding out.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, you know what? I wanted to go back to up here because I saw Steve Lynn. He had come in here with the comment earlier, and we were talking about Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry being drafted. And he said they were both second-round picks. And yes, absolutely, they were both second-round picks. It makes a ton of sense. But look, Jonathan Taylor was drafted in round two. He was a 41st overall pick. He was a third back taken, the third one, but he got picked 41 overall. The Bills don't have the 41st pick. They don't have an early round two draft pick. So my thing is this: you're not guaranteed a trade partner. People say, well, you can just get him in round two. How do you know you can get him in round two? Who's to say you're going to be able to trade up into round two? And then why would you, in my opinion, why would you invest in the trade assets that's going to take you to move up from 57 to the top of the second round to get it to or to try and hope that you can get him early enough in round two before anybody else takes him? That's going to cost you a pretty penny itself. So why not get the sure thing at 25? It's not much difference when we're talking about picks, guys. It's not much difference. You say, well, you can get a wide receiver. You can get a wide receiver in the second round, too. You can get a corner. You can get a corner in the second round as well. So, but you're not going to get the best one at second. You know what I'm saying? So why not get the best guy at 25? And then you can find other guys and plug them in rounds two and later in the draft. That's my point.
Yeah, and the Bills have already tried their hand at that numerous times at the running back position. It has not panned out. I think Bean has come to the realization, hey, if we want to be good at that position, we're going to have to invest in it. And we could see if that winds up coming to fruition in a couple days here. But the more we talk about it, the more it does make sense. You know, it definitely does. Now, when you're talking about the Bills, you know, current selections, they're at 25 and then 57. So you're right. Yeah. Have to wait till deep into the second in order to get that done. Should that be where they wait in order to go that position? But like you said, is it worth doing that? Because then you're just giving up a second for a guy that you weren't in love with to begin with, more than likely.
Yeah.
Speaking of the running back position, Rev, there's guys out there that could be traded for. Saw a wild scenario today that made almost no sense based on the value of it, but I saw a scenario where the Bills could go after Saquon Barkley. We've been talking about that for a while. Mm-hmm. Do you see a potential for the Bills to trade their draft capital for a player this coming up draft? Or are they definitely going and using their picks on Thursday?
Yeah. there's not a player that I see that they're willing to part picks with, outside of maybe James Bradberry. But then it just doesn't really make sense when you think it through, because he's going to need a contract, and you're going to have to pay him quite a bit of money. So, I mean, you're going to be tied up with two big contracts at the cornerback position with him and Trey White. And then I think he's approaching 30 years old, if I'm not mistaken, and that's going to cost you a lot of picks. So I don't think there's a guy that they trade for a player as far as I'm concerned. I think they're going to stick with their draft picks, and then if they do trade, it's going to be within the draft, but not for a player outside of the draft.
So speaking of the draft, obviously right around the corner, 3 days away, and by now the majority of the final mock drafts from the NFL quote unquote experts are out. So Rev, let's take a peek and see what the general consensus is right now. I got a few of these mock drafts pulled up. So we'll start here with CBS. And according to CBS most recent mock draft, they have the Bills going safety, Daxton Hill. The reasoning behind it is this. This has been a popular pick for us over the months because of Hill's versatility. He's underrated nationally, but watch him play and it becomes clear pretty quickly that he's in running for one of best defensive backs in this class. He's listed as a safety, but he can line up anywhere. Do you see the Bills taking a defensive back that isn't a solidified corner, but them transferring him in to a position that they need to fill at the time? Is that something that you could see happening?
It's likely. The only way I think I see them, because I mean, you have to look at it, the safety position. I mean, there's really no room, right? I mean, you've got Poirier, you've got Hyde. You got Taron Johnson who plays at nickel. Adding a safety like that, I mean, he's got to get on the field, right? So, I mean, so where is he going? You know, how is he going to get on the field to justify that type of an early pick? The only scenario I see that happening is if the Bills end up trading Jordan Poirier.
Ah.
You see?
That makes sense.
If the Bills say, you know what, we just can't afford to pay him. Right. And this, we have to be willing to accept this possibility too, because being said, we can't, I mean, as much as we love them, as much as we love to, we can't sign everybody. And so that's not to say that they're not going to sign Jordan Poirier. That's just to say that they, it's a possibility that they just can't. And if he's not going to come, he's not showing up right now. I mean, this thing can linger. Right. I mean, we don't know. Maybe he's just not going to come to camp. Maybe he's not playing. Maybe he's not putting foot on the field until he gets a new contract. If that's his stance, Bean has to look about doing some things, right? And so I can see them targeting a safety, but it's going to be at the expense of maybe trading Jordan Poirier, because having him on the roster and then adding a safety really doesn't make sense. They would probably likely trade him and then get a guy, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Richard Forbes coming in here. Bobby said it earlier as well. The motto, I think, of Bean and McDermott is having guys who are versatile, and that's basically what the consensus here is on Daxton Hill. He's a guy you can plug in anywhere. That is vital. You know, should you need to plug him in a corner, you can. If Poirier or Hyde go down, you have a guy to fill in there. If you do move off Poirier, perhaps you're able to switch Daxton Hill or a similar type player in and out. So this is the first mock draft I've seen, I think, that they have a safety going, but the way it's explained, it does make some sense. Moving on over to Pro Football Talk. At 25, they have the Bills going offensive line. Zion Johnson out of Boston College, and here is the reasoning. One of the very few issues that Buffalo has is at guard, where Roger Saffold is due to start at right guard this year at age 34. And undrafted Ryan Bates is the likely left guard. To me, Johnson's the perfect call here, because even if Saffold and Bates turn out great in 2022, it seems like a short-term fix. And that's something that we were just talking about, right? A lot of these guys are on borrowed time.
Yeah.
In five college seasons, 2 years at Davidson, one at Boston College after transferring, Johnson started 49 games. Give me a guy with 36 starts at guard and 13 at left tackle. Give me a guy who was a two-year captain after transferring. Give me a guy who never missed a game in five college seasons due to injury. Wow, that's impressive. He's a likely interior lineman, which lessens his value slightly, but his intelligence, football acumen, and experience gives NFL GMs confidence Johnson could be a starter in 2022. Wow, I mean, if that didn't sell you, I don't know what does.
Yeah,
it is a great point. It is a great point. The offensive line, if we're going to continue to talk about protecting Josh Allen or, you know, enhancing his game, yes, the offensive line this coming season has been upgraded, but for how long? that is yet to be determined. We don't currently have a guy that the Bills are investing their future in, and this could potentially be it. Zion Johnson or a similar player. Your thoughts, Rev, offensive line at 25 for the Bills.
Yeah. Now that's a position that I could get on board with. Because the guard position is not very deep in this draft. In my opinion, it's not as deep as we would like it to be. Okay. Zion Johnson is a phenomenal player. I think he could possibly be an Aaron Cromer disciple. I mean, he's athletic too. And then he has all that experience. We know Bean and McDermott, they value guys who have pelts on the wall, so to speak. These guys who have played a lot of football, and he's played a ton of football, and he's exceptionally well at it. And so a guy like
Zion Johnson, hasn't missed a damn game. I mean, how about that? That's physical, crazy. Yeah.
I mean what's the saying they say? The most
the best ability is availability, baby.
There it is.
That's one of the best.
Yes. That's it, man. And so
no kidding. Yeah, we've seen plenty of injury on the line for the Bills. Yes. I mean, we have. That's why the rotational situation we constantly allude to has been in play a lot. It's just a constant merry-go-round on the line.
Absolutely. And so adding a guy like that, it makes a lot of sense. The only thing is you have to figure out, like, okay, I mean, they're going to go into camp and compete, right? You've got Saffold. Okay, he's going to be your starter. So, I mean, who is Zion competing against? Probably Ryan Bates. But then you just signed Ryan Bates to a four-year deal.
Yes.
Okay, and so are you going to sign him? Did you sign him to a four-year deal to have him sit the bench behind, you know, a Zion Johnson? That's – I don't know. I don't know if that's in the cards, if that's what they would want to do. But it's possible. And I wouldn't be upset if they decided to go there because, I mean, you got a guy locked up here for the long haul, you know. But I was just thinking, and I'm kind of thinking out loud here about how, well, Bates could possibly be the guy who could replace Mitch Morse. But Mitch Morse, he just signed an extension. He just got extended. So
Oh, that would be interesting. That would be an interesting move. Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, it seems like the entire offensive line, that's why I don't see them going O-line in the draft. It was such an emphasis this offseason. They essentially re-signed everybody that they didn't keep, and then they went out and got pieces. To me just screams we've done what we needed to do thus far at that position for this year. Plus, you know, yeah, you're looking towards the future. It doesn't need to be done this year. You have your guys locked and ready for this year. You can invest in the future at the position perhaps next year. Right. I think what it all comes down to is what we were talking about earlier, Rev. And that's there's a clear awareness in the Bills front office of the window that they're in. That's why the team that is formed in this current moment is what it is. I think that mentality is used in the draft. Who's going to benefit us immediately right now? That to me is another argument towards corner, because if you get an unbelievably elite corner at 25 or you trade up for one, name me a better secondary in the league. If you get a guy who's an immediate starter and a stud, pair that with Poyer, Hyde, and Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
I mean, Rev, we're talking about a lights out backfield here in an AFC conference where almost every single team can beat you deep. If you got the best backfield in the AFC paired with perhaps the best offense, look out. So that's another argument there. But the more we go through all of these, Rev, the more you could really make a sound argument for any of these decisions. And that's why I think the Bills are in such a great pick, great spot, because the way it goes typically in the draft, you're either upset or you're super happy. But the way I'm looking at this, there's a variety of ways that Bills Mafia is going to be very excited come the end of Thursday night. You agree?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, because and this is why I love Brandon Bean so much, and Bills fans, look, Mafia, look. Thank your lucky stars and stripes that you have a general manager like Brandon Bean, who is as good as he is. His philosophy, and he says it all the time, my objective in free agency is to fill as many holes as possible. As many holes as possible. I'm not necessarily looking for.
And he was a man of his word, wasn't he? I mean,
absolutely. Absolutely. And he's like, I want to fill as many holes. So that way, when I approach the draft, I don't feel the pressure to have to go get a guy and feel like if I leave round one or round two without drafting XYZ player, then we're screwed. He doesn't do that. So that's why you see him so aggressive in free agency. Granted, he may not get the big name players, except for this year. He managed to land a big fish in Von Miller, which I don't think he was expecting, but he managed to get him anyway. And so he filled all of these holes.
He made sure he was getting him. He made sure of it.
Yeah, he was whatever. Oh, yeah. I mean, if he was serious, he's like, yo, is he serious? Okay.
No, he wasn't messing around there.
Let's get it. Let's get it. And so now Brandon Bean is sitting back, and I know we're looking like, Rev, man, we got this cornerback. It's not as big of a hole as we think. Look, there are guys that we can get. How good did they play even you know, in the backstretch when Trey got hurt when Dane Jackson was filled in?
See, that's what it all comes down to, me, Rhett. That's a great point. And that's what I think about a lot here. Yes, cornerback is a big need right now. I'm sorry, but as good as Tre'Davious White is, you didn't hear anybody saying, man, we really missed Trey White today. The only time you really heard it was when Tyreek Hill burned us in the divisional game for 80 yards. I'm telling you right now, Tre'Davious White wasn't making a difference there.
No.
That's insane. That's insane. And a great tell of, you know, you want to get on Leslie Frazier's ass, go ahead. But a lot to do with it there. You lose one of the best corners in the league, and you barely heard a peep out of anybody saying, where the hell is Tre'Davious White? That's a great point.
Exactly. I mean, McDermott, this is the position that I'm most comfortable and confident in McDermott, because I mean that's his thing, right? He knows how to coach secondary and along with Frazier, and you know, we don't even need to get into that gaffe. But nevertheless, I mean, they know what they're doing when it comes to the secondary. Look what they did with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, getting Tre'Davious White at 27, getting an undrafted guy in Levi Wallace, getting what, a sixth round or seventh round pick was Dane Jackson. I mean, they know what they're doing at that position.
Teron Johnson, there's been movement there. Hell yeah.
Yes.
It hasn't been a problem. It really has not.
It's not.
That's why when you talk about getting a guy that's like next level, it just makes your head go to all these different possibilities of how truly great they could be.
Exactly. I mean, you know, unless you're going to, you say, you know, I'm going for the top guy. I'm going for Sauce Gardner, which is going to, you got to pay a lot of
yeah,
capital.
I just don't see how that's possible. I don't see the Jets targeting him, Rev. They'd have to move with the Jets. I don't see it. I don't see it happening either.
And so there's a guy that they can get in the later rounds that can come in and compete. Plus, again, we don't know who Brandon Bean has already been talking to as a veteran that he's probably telling his agents, okay, just wait until after the draft. We're going to revisit this after the draft. He could sign a guy in round three, round four, and then fool around and sign Joe Hayden after the draft. And now we're looking at, whoa, we just got Joe Hayden.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because a few people are bringing that up in the comments here, Rev. That's the one scenario that we weren't talking about as much recently, because there hasn't been a move towards corner in the offseason. It leaves the immediate assumption they'll tackle it in the draft. But you're right, Joe Hayden, there could be potential to move into getting a veteran at that position and allocating the draft picks to other spots. Do you see that as a likely scenario? And if so, you'd have to think it happens Thursday night, correct?
Yeah. I can see it happening. And it doesn't necessarily even have to happen Thursday night. I still see them adding a guy in the draft. I don't necessarily think that it has to be early. I think they can get a guy mid-round to compete with Dane Jackson, and then after the draft, go revisit and then sign a vet. Right. Mm-hmm. And so now you have a veteran, like let's just say Joe Hayden with Dane Jackson and a rookie draft pick. And you've got those three right now going into camp, plus the guys that we currently have on the roster, not named Tre'Davious White, right, in camp and compete. And then may the best two win until Trey gets back. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's a more likely scenario, in my opinion, and it kind of fits what Bean is likely to do. I don't necessarily see him being super aggressive and getting like a cornerback right now, because – as much as we like it or not, he has a lot of faith in Dane Jackson.
Yeah.
A lot of faith.
So what you're saying is if Bean trades up, it's not for a corner. That's what you believe.
Yeah, no. Unless on Thursday night we see, the Buffalo Bills have traded with the New York Jets for the fifth pick, then I'm like, okay, it's got to be. You know, but if that's not the case, then no, I don't see him trading up for a cornerback unless.
Well, they could get a lot more interesting too if the Jets decide to package their picks for Deebo Samuel, because that seems to be the number one destination according to people in the know. If Deebo Samuel moves, that's a whole other story. San Francisco comes out today and basically saying they couldn't imagine moving off of him. Of course you couldn't. He's one of the best in the league. That's another interesting element here outside of the Bills come Thursday, because you have to think Baker Mayfield, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Deebo Samuel move Thursday should they wind up moving at all. Obviously, yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield are going to be moving somewhere. Of course, unless San Francisco decides to fool us all again and keep Jimmy G as their starter, but Baker Mayfield will be somewhere.
Right.
But I'd have to think if Deebo Samuel does get moved, well, you're going to need to do it Thursday or prior to that, or you're not. What are you getting?
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
not. It's,
yeah.
It's not happening. So
I think they probably already have a deal in place. If that's the case,
you have to think. But it really does seem like San Fran's got no desire. But listen, if the guy doesn't want to be there, this is the new league we have come to face. And
they can get a king's ransom for him.
That's the thing. And a team right now. I mean, the Niners are one of those teams where you don't look at them thinking, man, they're a juggernaut. Thing you know, they're in the NFC Championship.
Right.
I mean, they can win in so many different ways. They beat you in a slow death. It's not like they're overwhelmingly exciting to watch, but next thing you know, you blink, and what was the score of the Packers game? 10-6? I mean, that's the type of game they play. If they were to add a bunch of assets, it could definitely elevate them in a conference where, I mean, go ahead and take a look. Try telling me San Fran's not a top four team in the NFC or a top five team. They're right there. Silas coming in saying, with Vaughn and our safety duo, we can afford to take a DB later. I trust our DB development. So a day two cornerback or safety could become a star. This draft is DB rich. And Silas makes a great point. Go ahead and look through the mock drafts and look how many freaking corners are there with a high grade. There's plenty to pick from.
Yeah, I know, we like to go back and forth with Silas, but this is Silas, man, look, this is a take I agree with. Okay, brother, I definitely think that the scheme that we have lends itself to adding a guy who he doesn't have to be a top guy, you know, and we can still be good, especially with Hyde and Poyer at the helm. All we need, guys, is a player who's as good as or better than Levi Wallace, which, you know, it's, take it for what it is, right? I don't think it's going to be that difficult for us to find somebody who's as good as Levi Wallace or even better. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah.
And if they thought there wasn't a possibility, they would have signed him for the $4 million. There's no way they wouldn't.
That
just tells you everything you need to know right there.
Right.
Let's go back to the mock drafts, Rev, and let's see who else has got the Bills doing what. We're heading over now to the PFF. PFF also has the Bills going interior linemen, but they have them taking Kenyon Green out of Texas A&M. And here is the reasoning. PFF is a lot lower on Green than the media consensus and likely how the league views his NFL prospects. He's one of the younger players entering the 2022 NFL draft and will benefit significantly from NFL coaching when given the opportunity to play just one position, likely guard. At the next level, he has 1,098 career snaps, played at left guard, 853 at right guard, 142 at right tackle, 81 at left tackle. So if we're going back to CBS's scenario here where the Bills go Daxon Hill at safety and plug him in different spots, essentially what PFF is telling you here is you could go Kenyon Green and plug him in anywhere you'd wish on the offensive line. But based on this summary here, Rev, kind of seems like a project player. Is that the vibe you're getting too?
Yeah, he's just versatile. You know, you can probably play him in different spots, and you would need. I actually kind of think he's in the mold, I guess you can say, as Cody Ford. Not necessarily saying that Ford is. I think he's better than Ford, but you know, when Ford was coming out, I mean, he was a right tackle with versatility to play guard. And so if you got a guy like Kenyon Green who can go back and forth like this, he could be a project. But again, it depends on where they are thinking about drafting him. He could be a guy that they choose to develop with Aaron Cromer, you know. So that could be a possibility too. But I'm just not really vibing on the offensive lineman at 25.
Yeah, I hear you. Silas coming in saying Dotson would be awesome at 25. Well, NFL.com thinks the same, Silas, and you know I do too. I don't think I'd place a pre-order on a jersey fast enough. Jahan Dotson projected to go to the Bills at 25, according to NFL.com. The summary says, this is a popular mock slot for Iowa State running back Breece Hall, who we talked about earlier. That just goes to show you the heat picking up on the talks surrounding the Bills going all at 25. NFL.com said, I certainly see that happening.
Perhaps the Bills can find more value at running back on day two. Now, that's something you and I just talked about, Rev. We don't necessarily think that's the move for the Bills. But NFL.com saying potentially go running back day two, securing the wide receiver with the best hands in the draft at number 25 is their play. Dotson is a true playmaker with game-breaking ability, and he sure is. I would love the pick. As I've said in the past, it's a luxury pick, in my opinion. It's one of those picks that is a desire, not a necessity, but damn. Could you imagine, Rev, this offense with another elite playmaker at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, I definitely can, and I'm not knocking it. I'm not knocking it at all.
Not one bit.
You know, I mean, you look at what's happening right now, right, across the – I would say the landscape of the NFL, but really it's the AFC. I mean, come on, that's the only competitive conference, really. The AFC, you have to get guys. I mean, you have to be deep in the cupboard at wide receiver. And now the Bills, we've got Diggs, Davis, and then we've got a mixture of Crowder and McKenzie, and then, you know, some guys, right? And so, yes, we absolutely are going to need to add another wide receiver at some point in the draft. Don't forget, Gabe Davis was a fourth round pick, or was it fifth round pick?
I think fourth.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I like Jahan Dotson. My only thing right now with receivers is, man, you know, how are they going to get on the field? Unless they come into camp and they beat out, you know, Crowder and McKenzie, because, you know, I don't know. I just don't know, because, I mean, you got Diggs, you got Davis, you got Crowder, McKenzie, and then you have O.J. Howard with Dawson Knox. And so you're going to have a lot of mouths that are going to that need to be fed. But that doesn't necessarily say that you don't have to, you know, add another guy. At 25, I don't know, it may be a little bit too rich for me.
That's where I agree with you, because, like, that's a great point you just mentioned, right? It would be – to me, you put it perfectly – it's a little too rich, right? Because the locker room currently is a little rich as it is. I mean, the Bills have one of the best wide receiver locker rooms in the league. When you talk about going outside of corner, the one place that the Bills have not tried their hand is the running back position. And I think that if you get a guy, because inevitably, if the Bills go running back, they're going to incorporate him into the pass game as much as they can well. Yes. But it offers you something a wide receiver can't. And as much as I would love a wide receiver to add to the arsenal, I have to think a running back move over a wide receiver move just makes a bit more sense in this current Bills roster.
Yeah, when you look at the team and how it's constructed, it absolutely does, because a running back at 25 is gonna see the field day one. He's gonna, you know,
no doubt.
You know what I'm saying? But a wide receiver at 25, I mean, you'd have to force him in the field. But I mean, where is he at in the progression, right? I mean, he's not taking snaps from Diggs. He's not taking snaps from Davis. You've got Knox. You got Howard. You got Crowder. You get all these guys here.
Yeah, so I think Crowder could be rotational there. I think that's
with him and McKenzie.
But what's your plan with Isaiah McKenzie? You re-sign him. There's a plan there, and there should be. You know how I feel about Isaiah McKenzie.
I love him.
Rev, the more we talk about this, man, yes, it's going to be a necessity down the line for sure, but perhaps this year, wide receiver, especially, look, it just seems inevitable now. The wide receiver talent in college is unbelievably high, and it's not going away anytime soon. This is going to be a recurring theme. It's deep. Right. I mean, Gabe Davis, say no more.
Right.
I think this might be a future look.
Yeah.
The more we keep talking about this, the more, to me, if we're talking about window, it comes down to running back and corner for me. That's how I'm seeing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because you can still get a wide receiver. I mean, you can get one in the second round. You can get one in the third round. I mean, there's guys that you can bring in and who can fit in the offense and then kind of develop them slowly and until, you know, I guess develop them until you move away from Crowder and even McKenzie, because he's on a 2-year deal. I think it makes perfect sense with that. But a running back right now elevates this offense, and then you can have him paired with Motor Singletary. Imagine having a guy like Breece Hall, a dynamic running back who can do it all, right? Third down or whatever the case may be, if he needs to blow, you bring in Motor Singletary and let him, or you just have those two guys go back and forth in an RBC type of role. Breece Hall is going to add so much more value to the offense in year one than another wide receiver will in year one, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right, as we move on towards the end of the show here, I got two more mocks for you, and these both predict the Bills going corner, two different corners at that. This one comes from SportsIllustrated.com, and it's got the Bills going Kyir Elam out of Florida. And the reasoning is the Bills fill an immediate need here with having without having to reach. And that's the best way to put taking a corner. That sentence right there. You fill an immediate need. You don't need to do much else. Go move back or move forward. There's so many corners available here. There's going to be a high-end prospect available at 25. Elam is tall and plays even bigger with a 6'4 wingspan. He's a willing tackler who sometimes overruns plays. That flaw can be coached. His 4.39 second time in the 40 cannot. Yeah. Your thoughts on Kyir Elam? He's been, you know, his name's been thrown around a ton at the cornerback position. It seems to be between him and Booth. Your thoughts on Kyir?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kyir is okay. You know, I mean, I like him. I don't think he would be my guy. I mean, you look at speed, and that's very, very enticing, right? Because both Sean McDermott and Bean said that they wanted to add speed. I mean, you've got Tyreek Hill now in the division, so we got to face him twice. You need speed, right, to compete against him. But our scheme can kind of still, you know, negate some of that to a degree. But what gets me is where it says he was a willing tackler. I mean, he's not the greatest tackler, but, you know, and Sean McDermott loves some tackling corners. You have to be willing to go at it and get guys on the ground. And so,
I hope you're willing to tackle. If you're playing on D, I hope you're willing to tackle.
You have to be. You have to be, especially if you can play on Sean McDermott's defense. You know, if I had my choice between him and Booth, I think I would lean towards Booth. But I mean, either one would be okay, but I'm still leaning towards getting a guy later on, man. And you know, it not necessarily at 25.
Yahoo leaning towards Booth as well, Rev. They're saying Bills take Booth at 25. The reasoning, some smart, well-connected people we trust in media have floated Breece Hall's name here. Wow, that's three mock drafts alluding to Breece Hall actually taking it. That talks up, Rev. The more I hear it, the more I think there's no way it's happening. But nonetheless, we've seen three. Yeah, you know what I mean? Actually, Rico tweeted out today when he heard the Chris Sims bit, and he goes, well, there goes my dreams of running back at one. And I go, yeah, you're probably right. But anyway, so Yahoo's saying here, it's not the silliest proposition we've heard for the Bills to take Hall, but with a moldable number two corner on the board, especially with Tyreek Hill entering the division, it would be hard to pass up Booth. And that is the one thing everybody needs to consider when you're thinking about corner. It's not only Tyreek Hill, but the entirety of the AFC. Yeah, you have to think about it when it comes to who you're drafting. And that's a great reasoning as to why to go corner. Yahoo says he's still developing, but his upside is very good for this range. What makes you like Booth more than the other guys, Rev?
I think it's just that right there. I think it's his upside, you know, and he's a little bit more physical, you know? And so that's why I like Booth a lot more. And I think he actually fits very well in our defense. I mean, I wouldn't be upset, you know, if we hear the card, you know, at 25 on Thursday night and Andrew Booth, I would be very happy. You know, it would kind of let me know, okay, well, they actually prefer Booth probably over Dane Jackson, because you don't draft a guy at 25 and have him sit behind Dane Jackson, you know? So when White comes back, Dane Jackson is likely going to the bench, you know? So that's kind of what it would let me know what they think of Dane Jackson more than it does about what they think of Andrew Booth, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yeah, I like Andrew Booth or Elam. Give me Booth. I prefer him.
Before we close up shop here, Rev, give me your hottest take for the upcoming draft. Doesn't even need to be Bills related. Give me a hot take. What do you see going down Thursday night that nobody else sees coming?
Oh, man, that nobody else sees coming? Oh, man.
Maybe not nobody, but one that you think would cause some ripples throughout the league.
No quarterback being taken in round one.
Mm. Oh, at all? Wow.
At all. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
When's
no
the last time, if ever, that's happened?
Yeah. Wow. I don't even know. Let's. I mean, chat. I mean, you guys. Let us know when the last time there was a draft.
I don't know
round
if that's
one
ever happened.
There was no quarterback taken.
Yeah. But I'm just scrolling through this Yahoo one, Rav. They don't have. They have Kenny Pickett going to the Eagles. Wait. Kenny Pickett going to the Eagles? I don't see that happen.
And they got hurt.
You're gonna draft Jalen Hurts to play him? No, I don't see that. So out of that, I'm scrolling. Rev, that might not be as hot of a take as you think, because according to Yahoo, he's the only quarterback off the board, and I don't see him going to Philly. So,
Wow.
Plus, you also have to consider if Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Garoppolo are moved Thursday, that could really rattle the QB market as well. If one of these teams that are QB needy go with a veteran, that could really shake things up in your favor of that hot take right there.
Yeah, definitely. And so it's still possible, but you know, how many drafts, let's just kind of think about it. How many drafts or first round have we seen a lot of trade movements? I don't know. I don't think it's been as much as we would think. Has it? Has there been a lot of trades in the first round of late?
This season? Are you talking about?
No, just trades within the draft, within round one.
Well, last year, yeah, there was a good amount. The Giants traded back with the Eagles. The 49ers traded up to draft why am I blanking on his name?
Oh, Trey Lance?
So there's been a few. But the one thing I'm interested in here is the lack of – that's why this draft is so odd. There's no crown jewel quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm looking up right now the last time a quarterback wasn't taken in the first round. And
here we go.
25 drafts ago, it says. This is on ESPN.com. Share the link here. Or actually, it won't let me. Hold on. I'm sorry. It says that 25 NFL drafts ago, no quarterback went in round one. Why it might never happen again. This was in 1996.
Yeah.
That's how long ago it's been. I also want to know the last time a quarterback hasn't been taken in the top 10. I mean, that's what we're facing this year.
Right.
But that's the reality of the draft this year. And that's why I think people look at that and say, oh, it sucks. I think it makes the draft incredibly unique. We're going to see a lot of different movement this year that we're not used to.
Right, 100%. I mean, and then you think about if there's no quarterbacks taken in round one, then that means that there's not – a lot of elite players or prospects that are going to drop, because, you know, teams have benefited from, you know, just an overload of quarterbacks pushing all of the talent down and down and down and down in the draft. Well, if we're talking about no quarterbacks being drafted, that means that these elite prospects are getting drafted earlier. So that could mean whoever is in that later rounds, if you got a guy you want, you may have to be even more aggressive this year to get your guy, because the quarterback market is not as heavy as it has been in years past. That makes it extremely interesting for me.
Interesting is the key word. And I'm interested, you know, not only for the Bills, but just in general to see how this draft goes down, because like we're talking about here, it's just a different draft. You don't really know. There's no real solidification anywhere here. I mean, even at the number one pick, a lot of people think Aiden Hutchinson goes to Jacksonville, but as the days have been going on, I've been hearing different too. I've been hearing Trayvon Walker. Yeah, it could be different. Yeah. So it'll be interesting, but we only have 3 days to wait until we find out, Rev. And as we end the show tonight, we're excited to tell you that Thursday night, the night of the draft, I will be there, Rev will be there, Pierre, Don Money, Finn Diesel, and our host Rico, the BF Draft Show, Thursday night. It is going to be a banger,
yes.
Rev.
Yes, it's going to be fire. I'm excited about it, man. I don't know how the mafia feels about it, but it's going to be extremely lit. I don't know if you guys still say that nowadays. It's gonna be on fire.
That probably means nobody's saying it anymore, right? Yeah, exactly. But I say it, that makes you feel any better.
You guys don't want to miss it Thursday night. Join us, BF.
No way.
Right here, man. It's gonna be on fire.
That's gonna be one big party. It's gonna be so much fun, and we look forward to having you there. Every year it's a blast. And this year, with a lot of uncertainty and a lot of speculation, it's going to be so much fun to be together and see who the Bills wind up taking. Plus, we have a good amount of time up until 25, so a lot of fun will be had prior to that. Tonight, my job isn't done. I'm ending here, but I'm on another show tonight. I'm guesting with the Caveman over on YouTube, on the Caveman's YouTube channel. He's having me on with a couple of buddies. So if you haven't had enough of me yet tonight, swing on over to the Caveman's YouTube channel and check me out on there. We'll be talking draft as well. That's coming on at 8:30 p.m. or 9:30 p.m. tonight. Richard, to answer your question, Thursday night, we're going live at 7, and we're going to take it until the wheels fall off. So don't go anywhere Thursday night. Don't fall asleep on us. Have a couple cups of coffee at the end of the night and get ready for a fun night. Rev, Anything you got going on prior to then, or I'll see you there? Is that what?
I'll see you there, baby. I'll see you there.
That's all I needed to hear.
I'll be there, baby. Thigh dancing and everything.
Thigh dance guaranteed amongst all the Buffalo Fanatics.
Yes, sir.
The Thursday night draft party with B-App. It's going to be lit, and we can't wait to see you then. Until then, that's Rev. I'm Z-Bot. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, and we will see you today. As always, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.